This edition of the Optimize We podcast is brought to you by the Biohacking Index. Visit biohackingindex.com for ratings and reviews of your favorite wellness solutions and wellness providers.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not medical professionals and do not provide medical advice. Consult a healthcare provider for any health concerns. Opinions expressed are not a substitute for professional medical guidance.
Hello and welcome to the Optimize We podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay O'Neill, and today I am joined by a new and dear friend, Dr. Marina Yuabova. Did I say that correctly?
That's correct.
Okay, good. And we met in the most unlikely type of way. I received a cold email, and I always like to double check that the people that I bring onto this podcast are going to fit the narrative that we have here, which is biohacking truths without the BS. And this woman she had her practice in New York. So I knew, as a New Yorker, that she was no BS. And then after talking to her, I realized that she is not only board certified as a DNP, an APRN, a naturopathic doctor, a functional medicine specialist, and the founder of the National Wellness Group and the Road to Fertility. She also has over 20 years of experience and is recognized for blending science from modern medicine with holistic and regenerative and quantum energy approaches to healing. So welcome to our podcast today, Dr. Yuabova.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited. I hope it's going to be interesting, educational, and informational for the audience.
And it will be, because we're going to be talking about topics that are very, very important, not just overall functional wellness and optimizing of health, but you specifically found a niche that, as a woman and as a mother, is very important to me. And I know it's very important to a lot of other people, because there's a lot of fertility issues that are out there that have been there before the pandemic and have been exacerbated by things like the spike protein and stress, anxiety, depression, disconnectedness. So I want to talk about your fertility program and how you work with people. But first, give me a little bit of a background on how you got started.
Well, how I got started, so I've been in medicine for many, many, many years, and I practiced Western medicine for a while. And I was seeing something very specific again and again and again, and you probably know it. I used to be employed by North Shore Hospital in Manhasset. I was employed there for 9 years, performing very specific service. I would prepare patients for surgery, making sure they are metabolically and cardiacally sound so they can withstand surgery and they can, you know, go through with it so they don't die on a table, basically. So what did I start seeing? Firstly, and nobody on my floor that worked with me and all providers that worked with me, we worked collectively for so many years together and nobody put it together. So what I saw in the beginning, I could see 3 to 5 patients that's cancers a week.
Wow.
By the end of my 9th year, it was 5 to 7 cancerous patients per day.
Wow.
So when I brought it to their attention, the girls, do you see this? Or it's only me. There's like, you know what? We are not really thinking about it. We come to work, we do the work, and we go home. So this cancer and oncology grew. And we start seeing patients younger and younger and younger. And it makes you think, what are we doing? And what is changing? And what can we change for better? So it was actually the same time that I wanted to pursue teaching. And they started looking for academic work. I was like, I have a lot of clinical experience. I can share it with students, fellow students. I can share a lot of my expertise. And I was hired as an adjunct professor first, and then a faculty in City University of New York. It's a big system, CUNY system. I started educating this young population. It was amazing. It's beautiful. It's air. You know, you're teaching them how to do what not to do at the same time. I started practicing. I opened small practice in Brooklyn where I could start do functional medicine. So putting everything together all time, you know, we're in medicine and it's our responsibility as providers to self-educate and continuously educate. Having a doctorate degree in nursing never stopped me. Yeah. More classes, more places to go, more people to listen to, more things to try, how it works, how everything. So I will tell you my understanding of physiology now and physiology that was taught to me is very different.
I hear that all the time from doctors, that especially around nutrition and bioenergetics and chemistry, you learn basically the basics, if anything at all, especially around nutrition. But going back to what you said, so you saw this uptake. What were the 9 years span that you were working in the hospital? What were those years?
Those, you want exact years?
Yeah, so it was like in the 90s and the 2000s.
It was early 2000s. It was early 2000s. Now we are 2025, such a long time ago. But it was so heavy. If you look at it, it's changed so quickly.
Because, you know, my rational mind is like, oh, maybe they had different marketing. Maybe they were bringing in more patients.
No. Right. And these patients were patients from Long Island.
Right.
That was Long Island patient population, because this hospital was in North Shore in Manhasset. It's Long Island. And you know, by research, you can do statistics. Cancer rates are skyrocketing for women for breast cancer and uterine cancer. So what is it that make people this way, you know? And why is it getting worse?
And I see it now more than ever. And I'm good friends with a breast cancer surgeon, and she threatened my life if I ever got another mammogram, because she said, you actually have a greater chance of getting breast cancer from all of the exposure from the test than you do. And of course, you know, she's got an alternative solution, but she's a world-renowned breast cancer specialist, doctor, and surgeon. But going through your career, you didn't give up. You wanted to educate, right? And you mentioned it's a breath of fresh air to work with young people because they don't have the wisdom or experience or the trauma of working with patients who they see dying. And how did you go from, like, what educational path did you take? So you were a doctorate in nursing, and then, I mean, you have a bunch of stuff on your bio, but you told me about a couple of other things that you do. So you're also a hypnotherapist, right?
Yes, I got certified. I'm also a reverend, because you need to explain this to people, and I have it on my wall. So all of this, since I'm being a licensed provider, I have to have a documentation for training. You have to have it. Point blank, period. You have to have it. So I went through reverend training and school, and I took exams, and I got everything was done, where I dove deeper into realm of what's not seen. There are lots of things you could read about, you see things, you can feel, but how do you put this together? I'm not saying everything I learned there. You know, things come to you with experience, you learn more and more, but this is a structured way. How do you address the patient as a whole, right? I have all different kinds of patients. I have patients that are, you know, they're practicing actively Judaism, there's Christianism, there are all different kinds of people. So how do you present holistic wellness to this broad patient population so you speak to them on their language?
Right.
That's what makes a difference.
Well, you can't actually heal unless you're receptive to it, right? That's the whole concept of manifesting healing. No matter, there, you know, I believe that there's one God, and we can talk about God and fertility too, because you brought that up the other day and I thought that was really interesting. But if someone's not receptive to healing, then they're never going to get better. They're never going to heal. So whether you're working with a patient who's just trying to get pregnant or a patient who's at the end of their life with stage 4 cancer, you know, it's the same sort of receptivity and it's the same wisdom that you have that needs to be received in order for them to heal. And you mentioned in our original conversation that you also opened yourself up to be more of kind of like a vessel for healing. So tell me about how you got to that point.
Oh, how do we get to that point? We get to that point through pain.
So what kind of pain did you experience?
You know, the pain that I see my patients coming to me with.
I know it's hard. I know it's hard to see so much pain. You know, my husband, it's weird. This is the first podcast that I filmed since we got married. He's an FDNY lieutenant, and he's seen so much in his career. He's seen people get cut in half and be burned alive. And yet he, you know, he keeps going back into the fire to save people. And I feel very much about him like I do about doctors like you, because at some point, you know, that pain has changed your life, has molded you into, you know, other people's pain has molded you into who you are. And I know you can feel all of the pain whenever you need to access it for people. And that's a strong level of empathy that you have for them. And that's the best type of doctor that's out there.
Sorry, I do my best not to do this. Obviously, I was not ready for this. So let me explain to you what happened to me. So I have patients now that come to me with mystery. I do not know what's wrong with me. I go to the doctor, blood work is perfect, but I don't feel well. That was me.
It was me too. It was me too. And that's when I found a great doctor like yourself who dove in deeper than just the surface level CBC. Oh, your cholesterol, your white blood cell count, everything looks fine. And started looking at other things, inflammatory markers. And
well, it's usually not tested.
Right.
You know, I was given Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin.
And it's good.
Which is a anti-anxiety depression medication.
It's antidepressant medication. So this is what started my path. I started looking around and I found somebody, but by great referral, this doctor in California who does functional medicine. For me to fly from New York to California, he didn't do telehealth. It was before, a lot of people COVID. Me and my husband flew. We paid. People's like, oh my God, healthcare should be free. Maybe it should be, but it's not. Unfortunately, good healthcare is not free. And when I calculate, when me and my husband calculated how much we actually paid, it was over $150,000.
Wow. Well, sick care is free. Healthcare is free. You can get face.
Exactly. This was interesting. Yeah. That is interesting. So what this got to me, it opened my eyes. It opened my eyes to different kind of medicine because I've seen different doctors and I got the same answer. You know, everything looks fine. Why are you not feeling well? We do not know. You know what? Maybe you just, you know, somewhat depressed, take Wellbutrin. It's going to get fixed. Of course, it's not going to get fixed. And I did not take Wellbutrin because I didn't make up the pay. Yes, pain could be psychological too, but that was physiological pain. I had fibromyalgia. Everything hurts.
Yeah, it's very painful.
So I went, I started with this doctor. He showed me a few things. He gave me a few treatments, very specific treatments, opened my eye to different kind of medicine. And this is when I started looking. Of course, with his care, I understood a few things. Did I get well? It was the beginning. It was the beginning. The rest, I more or less did by myself. Researching, communicating with myself, communicating with energies around me, understanding what has to happen for you to actually heal. It is a lot. So when I'm working with my patients now, I explain it to them. And some people simply, they're very research-based, very Western medicine-based. And I gently explain to them, if you do not have belief, number one, it will never work for you. If you do not believe that your body can heal, you're not going to heal. And this is what in different in Western medicine here in oncology, that in different countries, for example, I'm from Russia. So we doctors didn't tell patients that were diagnosed with cancer that these patients have cancer. They wouldn't tell them that.
Why?
Firstly, cancer sounds like a death sentence. They would not tell them that. They would say, well, you had pneumonia, your nervous system is not working well, we need to support this and this and this. Very important for you to sleep well, eat well, don't stress. Here, yes, patient has a right to know, but what happens as soon as patient knows? It's the end, most of the time.
It just happened to a good friend of mine. She called me last week and her dad was in the background and she said, my dad just got diagnosed with cancer and we don't know if it's metastasized or anything like that. We have a call with the doctor on Monday. And I got on the phone with the dad and the dad said, you know, I just don't want my kids to worry about me. So what happened now? Now he's septic in the hospital awaiting surgery to have the fluid drained out of his lungs. And it happened that fast, within a week. Within a week, it happened that fast because his mind went to, I'm going to die. I don't want to be a burden to my kids. And so I'm just going to let it happen.
He sped it up, basically.
Sped it up. He sped it up with the diagnosis. Yeah. So going back to you, so you're going through this personal pain and then you're awakening because we don't know what we don't know, right? And we don't know what we don't know until we experience it ourselves. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is experience plus knowledge and time, probably, over the course of time. You didn't just, it wasn't like a light switch that went off and all of a sudden you were wise to all of this. You had to go through all of the steps of healing yourself and opening up your eyes to new forms of healing for your patients. How did you first implement that? And were you in New York at the time?
I was in New York. So when I started feeling almost well, energy, want to do things, I decided, why don't I not help other patients? Because now I have a knowledge. I have credentials. I applied what I knew. I applied already. I already treated my entire family. I treated my dog. I treated other people's dogs. It worked. It's wonderful. It's so, if you think about it, you always have to come to base. You know, everything is about base. What is about your base that you're missing to put it all together? It is honestly so simple. When you break it down, like people use very big words, telomeres, the length of your telomeres. I understand the length of your telomeres depends on how toxic you are and how deficient you are. Put nutrition, remove toxicity, and your telomeres will lengthen. There you have it. People talk about all of this stuff. It's great. We don't need to complicate things. Things should not be complicated. So we opened Small Pace in Brooklyn, and it became very busy very quickly. So what I start seeing, all different kind of people came. The name of the practice was Integrative Wellness New York, meaning Western medicine integrated now with functional medicine. And let's see how fast you're going to heal. What I started seeing, it was a lot of women, a lot of men, most of the people going to the doctors. Nothing is changing. I don't understand why I'm sick. And nobody's telling me what's wrong. Nobody understands. These kind of people started working with them, regulating their bodies. Seeing transformation, beautiful transformation. And what I actually noticed, women that were coming to me, apparently these women wanted to get pregnant, but these women were a little bit older. Mm-hmm. Apparently they tried and nothing happens. They've given up.
Right.
And they started getting pregnant. I was like, oh, look at that. Everything is about base. Everything is about basic. What does your body need? What happens now when anybody goes to IVF clinic? It's basically everything below the waist. It's just your reproductive system. And honestly, your reproductive system starts with your brain.
Yes.
The organs are below the waist. The system itself, it starts on the brain. So we need to see, is the system even working? How can we optimize that system? What is missing? So when patients go to IVF, and I'm absolutely not opposed to whatever people want to do. If they tried and it didn't work, and the only option for them for specific reasons, because there are reasons to do that, it's not the problem. Needs to be done right. Needs to be done specifically. And again, in order to increase success rate, the base work needs to be done. And nobody does it.
I love that you call it base, and it's like a root of basic, and
exactly
keeping it simple. A lot of functional medicine doctors talk about root cause illness, but then it gets overcomplicated very, very quickly. And root cause should be fairly simple. I never thought of fertility as looking above the waist. And something that you said to me about IVF is that it's not just, so a lot of people go into fertility issues like, is it the man's fault or is it the woman's fault? How do you feel about that? Tell me your perspective on that one.
Well, by research and statistics right now, it's 50-50. That's just raw data. It's raw data. It's your used to story that they used to tell people all the time. If not, something's not working, it's always woman's fault. It's absolutely not true. And I will tell you what I see in my practice right now. Couples come. In Jewish population, I work with very, very observant Jewish population. So even semen analysis becomes a problem. You can't accumulate the semen to analyze it. So today, I actually went to work and came back very quickly to be able to do this. I'm working with this lovely lady. I will not say her name. She's wonderful. She came to me a little bit closer to a year. I'm working with her. She had metabolic issues, polycystic ovarian syndrome, declared it all. She's married for 7 years. She went already to IVF clinic. They marked her as idiopathic infertility. Idiopathic meaning we don't understand why. Like, you're healthy and there is no problem.
Huh.
She stated to me that they said her husband absolutely not an issue. So I'm working with her physiologically. She's very well right now. She's a picture perfect. Physiologically, she's still not getting pregnant. So with this group of people, they, you know, there's very specific laws when men can be with wife. It's specific window. So I had to align that window with that law. So she goes by that law and she's with her husband. So she tried for 4 months after being everything picture perfect, not happening. So before yesterday, I spoke to her. I was like, listen, we've done everything. You're in a great place. Most probably that's not you. Now I understand Rabbi doesn't want you to get tested. I get it. But me, I need to see data so you understand how actually healthy he is. So I need to see something. Give me something. Maybe you did semen analysis because she went already to IVF clinic a few years ago and they did process of IVF and it never worked. I said, do you have that result? Show it to me. Today, when I went to work, she showed me that result. It came by email. I was shocked. So it came a semen analysis with doctor's interpretation. So basically, before this patient did semen analysis, some specialist did blood work on him. Because semen analysis was not warranted by rabbi, because they have to get permission, this doctor had to look at this blood work and interpret and understand how supposedly semen analysis would expect to look like. And this is exactly what it stated. Certain numbers at certain levels, thyroid markers are off, FSH, NLH, very low, signaling from the brain.
That's so hormones. Signal. Hormones, right?
Hormones, yes. So FSH, NLH coming from the brain, basically how brain signaling gonads, plus TSH, another hormone that released from the brain to thyroid. All of these markers are off the charts. And explanation is most probably this individual is suffering with primary or secondary hypogonadism. Having that, they understand that he most probably has either very little amount of sperm or no sperm at all.
Wow.
I had no idea. She told me that according to everything was tested, he's absolutely fine. And then she attached actually his semen analysis that was done already 3 years ago. And of course, very small amount of semen. Sperm does not move. It vibrates. Where is it ever going to get? Although this poor girl was already instructed by somebody else taking certain hormones to adjust her ovulation. I told her, listen, we are not going to, you came with issues. We corrected all your issues. You're perfect right now. We are not going to do any of that. We're going to now wait, because three years fast, we're going to wait for blood work and analysis of your husband. I had to write a letter requesting permission from the rabbi to do this. It's extremely complicated, so I can understand how I can help this guy. And he's not the only one like that. I have lots of them.
Well, and having a family is so vitally important to conservative and religious Jews, even in conservative and religious Christians. I know a lot of people who are very anti working with doctors or doing any sort of fertility testing that come from either a religious Christian or a religious Jewish background. And so good for you for not giving up on your patient and for also showing her that whatever a doctor tells you and whatever your religion tells you is not always what God wants for you, because you've done all of the work. And how frustrating and how depressing and how much anxiety must she have been feeling thinking that this was all her fault?
Exactly. So that was my goal, to explain to her, stop blaming yourself. It's not you. You know, it's a lot of time, it's not the woman.
But also that anxiety can keep you from getting pregnant.
Exactly. It is very stressful. It's very stressful. These people, men and women, they think they're broken. That's their fault, that they're punished for something. Or, you know, it's this self-blame will kill almost anybody. So we need to take this out. So in order for all of this beautiful thing to work, for example, for men and women, their bodies, you know, we took things for granted for such a long time. Things such as perfect physiology and creation of human. For example, how easy babies used to be made.
Right.
You know, it's not a big deal. You're together with somebody, hopefully with whom you are together with. You love that person and you care about that person, and you would be happy to have the child. And there's not much to do. Like, think about 40 years ago. None of that was happening. Look at it now. So when I started, I actually, before COVID, and I think I told you this, for me to get these results was so much quicker. 3-4 months of work, women are pregnant. Now, it takes longer time. And again, I'm explaining to my patients, we no longer live in perfect world. We do not have perfect water. We do not have perfect food. Food is not so saturated with nutrients. Food is empty. If you compare, and I think I told you this too, apple or tomato, it was orange that I saw some article. Orange now and orange 20, 30 years ago, in order to get the same nutritional value from orange now, you need to have 8 oranges. And it was 1 orange 20, 30 years ago. What does it tell us? It is sweeter. It's sweeter. But what about nutrition?
Right.
And why everybody's constantly hungry? People don't understand.
I saw that about watermelons the other day, because my middle daughter hates watermelons with seeds. But we grow watermelons in our garden, and they have tons of seeds because it's in an organic raised bed garden.
Non-GMO watermelon you have.
They haven't been genetically modified. And that's one of the reasons why I asked you, when were you working in clinical practice in Long Island? Because I remember the food systems changing growing up in the 80s and the 90s. And then in the 2000s, it was like cemented. This is what you're getting. You're basically getting genetically modified food. And it wasn't until just probably 5 or 6 years ago that they even had to put that information on the labels in our food system. And then our water is being changed. And then our medicine is being changed. It's no longer, I don't think it ever was really healthcare, especially since, like, you know, the days back, like when Rockefeller took over. But it's sick care. And we're giving everybody, like, look, they tried to give you Wellbutrin for a physical ailment. They tried to give you an emotional ailment for a physical ailment, which kind of sounds like it could be functional medicine, but if you're not addressing the baseline, like you're saying, or the root cause, and you're making it overcomplicated. People are throwing too much stuff at an issue right now. It's one of the reasons why we created the Biohacking Index, because think about, like, all your friends who are walking around the living rooms with those red light masks on their face. Are those actually making them more toxic, or are those reducing fine lines and wrinkles and making them reverse their age? Are those lengthening their telomeres, or are they adding more toxins into their body? And then do we even need to understand, like, our genetic makeup? You and I talked briefly about MTHFR, and I think that that's an important point, not just for women who are trying to get pregnant, because that is a huge issue when you're trying to get pregnant, but it affects so many more people than they originally thought. So you want to explain the MTHFR mutation?
Sure. I will go very light, because I would like to make sure that audience understand all of this. So very easily, physiologically, we were created absolutely perfect. And body's supposed to do perfect things the perfect way and without any effort. It's your Adam and Eve for you, you know? So we no longer like that. So we are changing. Everything around us are changing. It's changing. So are we. We are changing. So as we have maintenance in our house, right? We have AC systems. We have all the other systems, so systems and our body, anything that we put in has to come out. So MTHFR genetic mutation, I don't overtest. I only test for absolutely what's necessary for me to understand where to look at. People do ridiculous panels. Their panels cost thousands of dollars. I do not do this. It's very, again, we base back to basic. Look at the basic and only test for what you need to understand what's not working so you can start changing that slightly, gently, very carefully so everything starts going back into place. So, for example, MTHFR genes, there's an A gene and a C gene. They have different functions. One gene is responsible for cleaning and the other gene responsible for methylation. So when we eat fruits and vegetables, there are lots of B vitamins, but they are a not methylated form. So are we able to methylate? We're talking about absorption, right? If somebody eats a fruit, is this person getting everything that fruit has to offer? Although now fruit is empty, right? There is nothing in that poor apple. So even if you took something, you swallowed it, are you getting these nutrients or not? Even if you're taking supplements, are you actually converting these supplements to its ready form or not? Right. And I have patients that come to me and they're telling me that, yes, they don't feel well. They're taking 20-some supplements. That's their words. And they're assuring me that they could not be deficient in any possible way. And when they test them, I show it to them. Here, magnesium deficient, thiamine deficient, B12, B6 deficient. And I just show it to them because they need to see physical evidence. And I show it to them here. You see, you are deficient. And then question is, how could I be deficient? I'm taking all of these things. And then we start about talking about, well, you know, absorption happens in your stomach. You're not absorbing. So absorption also depends on these methylation processes. Are you able to methylate or not? Like if you have this gene mutation, you're not going to be able to convert into active form. So basically what you ate and supplements you take, it's garbage. It goes to garbage. You're wasting your time and you're wasting your money. By the way, anything that we take orally, 70% gets annulled by liver. That's a function of the liver. That's what liver does. Right. To keep us clean, to keep us protected. It's not an error mechanism. It's a proper mechanism. The other gene, so we talked about the gene that methylate. The other gene is responsible for cleaning up. So for example, I very briefly told you about this incident of patients that come that some, you know, there's very now popular testosterone replacement therapy for male and female. I'm not against replacement. I'm all about bioidentical hormone replacement. So to me, bioidentical is what your body makes. It's not something that you inject yourself with, apply patch or something else. I understand there's proper age for everything. Sometimes we can't, sometimes we can. Bioidentical, meaning identical to you. The only thing that's identical is what you make.
Right.
So I have this lovely gentleman. Now they come in, they are placed on testosterone, either testosterone pellets or testosterone injectables, because everybody now wants testosterone. Wonderful. I'm not opposed to that. But when you test them, firstly, they present specific, and I already know. As I call most probably, this lovely testosterone is converting into something else. And this is now a second gene.
Like estrogen, right?
Estradiol. Yes, estradiol.
So that was happening to me. And I was wondering why, for the first time in my life, I actually had breasts. And my doctor tested me, my conversion rate. And he said, well, you're taking this testosterone supplement, which it was just an oral supplement. It wasn't injecting. I wasn't doing the pellets or anything like that. But I was trying to do some HRT, and he said, all of the testosterone is not bioavailable to you. You're converting it into estrogen, and that is why you're breaking out. It's why you're having hot flashes. It's why your breasts are enlarged. So I do miss my, you know, full voluptuous breasts, but I don't miss all the other things, the hot flashes in the middle of the night and the mood swings and the, you know, and the hair growing everywhere. But so this gentleman came in and he was presenting with a lot of the same symptoms, right? Like maybe
he came firstly because he was getting depressed and wife was complaining what's going on with him. And by the way, this beautiful couple, he's one of many, they were trying to conceive and she wouldn't get pregnant. Like she has her own issues and now it's him. And when I saw the blood work, I didn't even do semen analysis. He had so much estradiol. I was like, listen, and testosterone is very low still because liver bind it all. You know, it bound everything, made it unavailable because it's an error message. Again, is your filter open and clean? Of course, he's empty charging, which he had double mutation, A and C. Double mutation is like, wow, this full guy simply cannot clean because job of the liver and these genes to bring things out. Like you brought it in the form of testosterone. It has to excrete it. Instead, it binds it, brings it back in a different form. And so there's different form. Doesn't really work for him. There are different indications, like again, signaling system, because the testosterone was so high and converting to something else, the brain signaling to his gonads to make more shut down.
Wow.
No more of your own testosterone production. Nothing.
Wow.
So that obviously could play a role in semen production of sperm too.
And so that's really interesting because that's what my doctor told me. I have both mutations. So I've got A1298C and C677T, not to be clinical or whatever. But having both of those, I was taking all of these supplements before I realized I had the genetic mutation. And so I now take methyl vitamins.
Boy, yeah.
And I eat pretty clean and I avoid alcohol and other toxins and have a great water filter and an air filter in my house and grounding. And, you know, I've got the things that I can do to help support my body, but I am 44. So I'm going through changes, just probably like a lot of your patients are. A lot of people don't really start trying to conceive until they have success in their career in their late 30s. Right? Or early 40s. So they're my age. I have got a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and 10-year-old at home. I've had my kids, but I should have had a very hard time conceiving back then, but I conceived when I was young, in my 20s. Before, you know, I wrecked my body with all sorts of other stuff.
Like all of us, lots of times we do that by stressing and working too much and not allowing our body to repair. That's a big thing. If we're talking about biohacking, right? And people asking me, oh, I'm all in biohacking. And one question I ask them, okay, are you doing one thing for yourself that's the most important? They're like, oh, which one is it? I was like, the one that's for free. Are you sleeping at night?
Right.
And how many hours are you sleeping? Are you sleeping deep enough or not? Like this is biohacking 101. Are you sleeping? You're already biohacking. It's so important. But yes, coming back to what you said, a lot of patients close to 40 now ready because they settled. They settled with their career and they're ready to start a family. And here they find themselves, I'm talking about close to 40. They come now early 30s like that, believe it or not. They already go to IVF clinics. They try cycles of IVF and egg retrieval and there is nothing there.
Wow.
It's either very slow, low AMH and no eggs that they can be, conducted. It is very, very sad. And I'm again explaining it to them that their body, let's say body is a factory, right? We have a lot of different workers in a factory. So factory can only produce, but she's already almost, let's say 33, let's say not 38, 33 to 42. She's from 33 to 42. So this factory has been overrun by life. Now, you demanding this overrun factories and its employees to do something they cannot do because they overrun, they're tired, and they were not paid well. Payment is the base. Payment is the base, a salary. It's how you take care of yourself, how you're sleeping, how you're eating, if your body works properly, if you can detoxify. They're not paid. So now this beautiful factory gets delivered to IVF clinic and there is a doctor who's like, okay, we have these beautiful hormones. We're going to stimulate you. Basically, we're going to demand this factory to put out more without depositing. You see what I'm saying? You don't deposit. You do not write check for them. You're not giving them anything. You're just demanding for this poor factory to produce. What do you think is going to happen? No production.
Great. They're going on strike. Firm were like, I'm out. I mean, if I didn't get paid and I was working to the bone, I mean, it's like child labor.
Oh, I will tell you what body does, interestingly. So once it gets pressured, because these people end up with me afterwards and I have to fix all of it now. So what body does, it tries its best to deliver. But because it doesn't have energy or resources, it starts breaking down.
Right.
Diabetes, autoimmune disease. Now they have post-traumatic stress disorder. These are from cycles of IDF. And again, they do one cycle. They want to collect eggs. Not much comes out. It's like, let's do it next month. They don't even give them break. Mm. Next month. I spoke to a person who had 11 cycles already. 11 cycles back to back. My question was, she's lovely. She's 33 years old, I believe. I was like, you see that this is not working for you. Why are you still doing it? Right. You understand, in order to receive something, in order to have a different result, you need to have a different approach.
It's so true.
How could you?
Isn't that that's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
This is so interesting. And to me, it was like, you know, it would be best for you to simply stop and maybe give yourself a break.
Yeah.
Give yourself a break. Maybe find a different approach. I explained to her. She's like, oh, actually, what you're saying makes sense. I was like, exactly.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You need to be kinder to yourself. You need to be gentler to yourself. You have to forgive yourself for all of this. And you need to have a different approach. So physiologically,
safe. You mentioned the word safe in a previous conversation you and I had. And I think it's something that we don't even think of, like in our relationships, in our job, especially as women, like a healthy man, a healthy husband, his role is to protect and provide for us, right? But if we don't feel safe in the action of like trying to conceive a baby or trying to get healthy, because a lot of these doctors, they make you feel safe, but you're not really safe. And your body knows it. And your brain knows it. And you're missing your connection. You're missing your connection to yourself. You're missing your connection to God. And you're missing your connection with whoever it is that you've employed to help you heal. Right? So
that is true. Definitely. I absolutely agree. And I always tell my patient, if patient comes, for example, I have couples or I have mom that brings children. It happens a lot. Although I do my best not to work with children, when they're older, it's much easier. And I do take them because my staffing is very specific and we cater to older, either teenagers and adults. If I see that parent forces the child, I know it's never going to work. If a wife is forcing the husband, it's never going to work. If there is a force, you know it's going to be resentment and it won't work.
Right.
So, and I tell them all the time, I was like, if the one who needs help comes with open mind and receives, we can deliver. It's not a problem. But if there is a belief that it would not work, it's already here, no matter what you do, it will not work.
Right.
So this belief system is so important.
Yeah.
And I always explain to my patients, like, no matter what you came with, if you believe it's going to work for you, as God said, you believe it, you shall receive. It's so simple.
Right.
God's words. Not mine. So it would work all the time. People just need to believe body is not broken. It's off balance. What do we need to do to balance it off? Does it need nutrition? Does it need detoxification? What does it need that we can deliver? And now in era of peptides, wonderful era. I started using peptides when I was working in New York. Nobody used peptide. I had an ozone clinic. I had the peptide therapy clinic. People that hold those things as a listen. We can now heal 360 degrees per day, all the time, day and night. We heal all the time. You do whatever you do during the day. At night, you sleep and you're healing, depending on what peptide you're using. It's like, it's amazing. It's a shortcut. I don't have to do this now for a year and a half. We can do it for a few months and you will see results. Beautiful.
You're still in New York. You're going to have to come back because there, Florida has enough. No, I'm just kidding. They don't have you. So if people wanted to work with you, do they have to come to Florida? Or can you
teach them? You do telehealth.
You do. Okay.
You do telehealth. It doesn't matter where they are. I am licensed in 3 different states. It's New York, Florida, and Nevada.
Okay.
So with every patient that I work with, we always start with specific things. And nutrition is very important.
Yeah.
When I did webinars and people were asking, are you a nutritionist? I was like, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm a well-prepared provider. I know nutrition is the key. And we always start with nutrition. Whatever causes inflammation, because inflammation, we're all inflamed. Like if you're not careful about what you're eating, you could eat good food. I'm not saying it's bad. But if this is what's causing inflammation in your system, you need to eliminate that. Patients tell me again, my patients teach me lots of things. They say, oh, I'm on anti-inflammatory diet. And I look at them. I was like, base of who? Who told you that this is anti-inflammatory for you?
Instagram.
Did somebody tell you?
TikTok. TikTok told them.
Google, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. I look at them and I'm like, oh my God. Everybody is different. We are an individual. So by being an individual, you need to have an individual approach to care. And that's why every patient that I have has specific dietary modifications. They all have. We give them lists of what you eat and what's not on it you don't eat. One time a week for dinner, you can eat whatever you want. And next morning, you'll know what you ate.
Right.
It's not up to me. Your body will tell you. My job is to educate and to show you the path. And it's your responsibility if you want to learn and move forward. Like, I leave it to them because it's their responsibility. Yes, I have expertise. I have experience. But will I do everything for them? No. They have to be very active part of that.
I heard someone make the analogy to a quarterback on the football field. So you're the quarterback. You're helping them call the plays, but they have to actually catch the ball and then run the ball into the end zone. They can't, they can't just stand there and you keep throwing balls at them. It's not going to do anything. They're not going to score any points. But I've never heard anyone talk about how you have to pay your body.
Yeah. Yes.
All of these workers in your body, and you need to pay them with what? Sleep, good nutrition.
Yes.
Potentially things like peptides and some supplements, right?
Yes. Self-love.
Self-love. It's a big one. How do you find the best way to love yourself?
Oh, my way to love myself, I think I love doing what I do and I'm very excited to come to work.
I love that.
I come to work. I have a team that works with me and they look at me. They're like, oh, how are you? I was like, every day is a great day. I'm here. I do what I love. I love the results I get. Nobody can get those results. And I know it. I used to be very shy for sharing that. Now I'm very loud about it. I have nothing to hide. I got it. You have a different approach. Great results.
And you have hundreds of 5-star reviews. I think you only had one less than 5-star review, and it was only because you moved from New York to Florida. That person was pissed off at you for leaving them. And I'm pissed off at you too for leaving New York because I want to work with you as my doctor. So
I remember that lady, by the way. She called and called and called, and finally she left that an upset review.
People, when they're sick especially, they get pretty angry when they don't get the help that they need. And so if someone wants to reach out to you and get the help that they need, what's the best website, email address, phone number? What should they do?
We are at Info at National Wellness Group. This is the email, info@nationalwellnessgroup.com. But we have a website. We have 2 working websites. It's nationalwellnessgroup.com. So information is there. There is a questionnaire. They can click the button. Somebody will get back to them. They can also answer the questionnaire if they want to. We also have the second website. It's called roadtofertility.com. Again, it's me and my staff. We divided 2 platforms, not to confuse people, but again, and I tell people all the time, if you want physiology to change, no matter what body part we're talking about, you always come to the root, to the base. What is required for optimal functioning? It should not be complicated. It's not complicated. It's quite simple. No matter what it is, there are ways that we can impact physiology. And again, self-healing, self-love, and acknowledging self, it is so important. Yeah. We're all about doing, you know, it's like robots. Do, do, do. What about you? What do you do for you? And people just look. Because nobody does anything for themselves anymore. We just do. So it's a good time to stop and think, what do I need for myself? It could be 5 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be full day. 5 minutes just for you.
I'll take like an Epsom salt bath at the end of the night. The magnesium helps relax my body. It helps lull me to sleep. I feel warm. I feel comforted. And then I get into bed and, you know, I usually drift off to sleep. Whereas years ago, I would take a Benadryl and then I would take a second Benadryl, or I would take a sleep medication or something else that would help me, you know, go to sleep. And now I have no problems if I do that at the end. I put my phone away. That's a big thing, especially for our children right now. They are so bombarded with everything and they're consuming information at such an incredible rate that they are so disconnected from themselves. Our kids are not allowed to go to sleep with their cell phones in their rooms. They leave their cell phones downstairs to charge and they pick them up in the morning. They don't have to wake themselves up. We wake them up, or we have an alarm clock that wakes them up in the morning. You know, they don't need their phones to act as their alarm. What that phone does to them is keeps them disconnected from themselves. And then we pray before they go to sleep. And I almost called him my fiance, my husband and I wake up every morning and we pray together. And it just sets our day because it connects us. It connects us to ourselves. It connects us to God and to our intention of what we want for that day. And that's been the most self-care that we've done, that I've done over the last several years. I've got little kids. I've got two businesses that I'm running. I've got a podcast that I launched. I'm working a lot, but I love it just like you do. And so I am so grateful for you sharing your time and your wisdom with us today. And I hope everybody goes to the National Wellness.
NationalWellnessGroup.com.
NationalWellnessGroup.com and
RoadToFertility.com.
And
so the name National Wellness Group, I was like, wellness to the nation.
I love it.
Let's spread it. It's so big. Let's see what's going to bring.
Well, then we got to get you certified in more states than just three. You're not going to have any time for self-care, my dear. But no, I appreciate you. And I would love to share this episode. And I want you to get out there in more ways than just this. I think you have a great message to share. It's very simple and very impactful. So I'm very grateful for all of your hard work and for your joining me today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. It was actually lots of fun. It took me back a little bit and I didn't expect to react the way I reacted, but they're humans.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. Being within a flesh, it's a beautiful place to be, you know, you have physical body.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being human and vulnerable and sharing your pain and also your purpose with us today.
Thank you very much.